You can have all the money in your hand, all the possessions anyone can ever have, but it's all worth the treasure. True worth is only measured not by what you got, but what you got in your heart. You can have, you can have everything, but what is it? What is it?
Never had it so good. 101.1 Radio, the best R&B and hip hop music. The Quiet Storm every Friday and Saturday. Talk radio with the best host in the business. Sports talk radio every weekend night with Princess Cooper. Never had it so good. Radio now on 101.1 and it's 24/7. The world's best radio station.
In this day and time, stereotypes are the false descriptions for all of humanity. James T. Deshaies is the author of two great poetry books that attempt to describe life from a male perspective. It has been a common belief that men are unable to put into words their deepest feelings and spend most of their time focused on the surface of what life means. Thoughts, love, and reflections, and passion, desire, and contemplation take you on a journey that has very few travelers. Mr. Deshaies has opened his heart and spirit up in ways that few have ever experienced. The depth of his poetry will have you reading his books and poems over and over again. You will find yourself using his passages to describe your own feelings to your family and friends. It is now time to put aside your thoughts and feelings related to the depth of men's thoughts and delve deeply into the words of James T. Deshay. Once again, he will put an end to your thoughts that men can't translate their heartfelt spirit into words. Both of these books will allow you to find comfort in the reality of the heart of men. You will spend hours trying to embrace the way men want to love and display their passion to the women they love. Don't be fooled by those books that create love through words of lust, vulgarity, and unhealthy displays of sexual activities. You will discover the types of words that will allow you to rejoice in the future of what love truly means to men. Your book clubs and families will be able to discuss these words without fear. No one will have to leave the room. Both of these books can be purchased at jamestdeshay2.com and lulu.com. Feel free to reach out to the author at tlreflectionsjtd@gmail.com.
You know I love music. And every time I hear something hot, it makes me want to move. It makes me want to have fun. But it's something about this joint right here. This joint right here, it makes me want to...
This is James T. Deshae, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. As always, I am happy and pleased to be here. And I'm not sure where today's subject is going to go, but I'm just going to share some things, and I hope more people call in so we can have this discussion, as you always do what's in your best interest. But when I say you always do what's in your best interest, there's something that goes along with that. You always do what's in your best interest as long as it doesn't sacrifice the people who love you or the people that you are committed to and have a interest with. And see, I like to believe that I am an American, but I'm also an African-American. And as such, I need to be ready and prepared to deal with life as an African-American. And even as I may go up the ladder, I have to recognize where the majority of my people are and make my decisions based on where they are and where I'd like them to be, such that I want all my African-American brothers and sisters to experience as much of what is the American apple pie as possible. And I refuse to scale the walls of what makes America great so that I'm the only one that is benefiting. But it's so interesting to me that when African-Americans need to keep their eyes open, because there's some of our brothers and sisters who see fit to benefit themselves at the detriment of others. And it amazes me that they feel so comfortable when they climb the wall and get to the other side and try to make you believe that the only reason why you're not at the other side is because you haven't done what you have to do or you're supposed to do. And no racism exists. Was with Armstrong Williams, who was a classmate of mine at South Carolina State. And when I listened to him say on this video that he has never experienced racism, it let me know that despite his rise to the top and his opportunity to eat at the table, he doesn't realize that he's still on the sideline, that he is not willing to recognize that there are things that were unforeseen that has kept him from being the individual he could have been on his own merits, and that some of the benefits he's received at the detriment of his own color. And so when we make alliances, we have to recognize who we're making alliances with and what the cost of those alliances are and who is benefiting from us being a part of those alliances. And so today I just want to talk about how it is nothing criminal or wrong about doing what's in the best interest of yourself and for people of color. But when people step out and only think about themselves, I always believe that there's going to be a downfall around the corner. That when you only look out for yourself and believe that there are people who will sacrifice themselves for you, when they don't have any true commitment to you, you lose sight of what the world is really like. And so I just want to talk about today how sometimes we have people of color who are already willing and able, no matter what their eyes tell them, that they're willing to throw us as an individual, us as a collective body, under the bus because they are only caring about themselves. And when they hit rock bottom and see that the people who they thought they could put their faith in are so quickly willing to sacrifice them because ultimately it's about them. And not that it's so important to have you at the table with them. And so it is just sad that we see ourselves splintered by these kind of individuals who are willing to sacrifice themselves. And another little thing I saw too, you know, I'm 57 years of age, and that just like everybody else's family, there are a lot of different shades of color in my family. But when I hear a person, you know, it's like I've heard say that it's a very sad frog that doesn't praise his own pond. But when you hear people praising that part of their pond that's not the collective, not the majority, it lets you know that they're gravitating toward that which is not truly who they are. In one of the videos, Armstrong Williams seems to praise the fact that his grandmother was an Indian, and so be it. A lot of us have that. But when you try to get rid of or part away or separate yourself from, you have very little pride related to your collective body. And so we just want to talk about how it is that there's just always going to be people who are willing to sacrifice and trade that part of themselves for what might be in their better interest. We all know that Jesus was betrayed. And so we have to recognize there are always going to be people who will trade on us. And we have to think about what do we do and how do we respond to those who are close to us seek to throw us under the bus. How are you doing this evening, Cheryl?
I'm doing great, and yourself and everyone else out there.
I'm doing fine. And again, that, you know, I sent you that part of we've been looking at Amorosa, who was making $180,000, and because she was willing to accept that position, she was willing to make praise Donald Trump and how committed he was to the black community, despite the fact he showed no willingness to do anything in our best interest. So, were you able to watch the video that I sent you?
I wasn't. The only one that I was able to watch was the one with Ben Carson. I've been kind of mobile and out and about, so I hadn't watched anything but just that last one.
And that, too, is an interesting one for me because I used to have so much pride about Ben Carson and the things that he was willing to do. And somehow he has just been willing. He's been one of those primary people who've been willing to sacrifice us.
Yeah. And what I was watching, I failed to look at the date of it. But as they were moving along, I was kind of thinking it wasn't just recent, and I'm not sure. But the representation that he had, you know, speaking for him, and I can't recall the guy's name, but he spoke as a true politician, contradicted a lot of the things that Ben Carson said, because they went back to the young lady and said, and I quote, you know, those things that he said. But when the guy who represented him talked, It didn't seem to be the same thing, because they were trying to say that it was not about religion when religion was very well mentioned. So it seems like a lot of politics, but I hadn't followed him a lot, but I do know that some of the things that he said has really kind of made me not feel that great about him, and not saying him as a person, but the things that he represented, you know, that I was hearing come out of his mouth. So now I'm not sure if he's planning on running to be a candidate in the next election, but that really would not be a choice of mine at all.
Well, one of the things I try to look at and understand is, you know, I have had some positive things take place in my life related to going to get my education and getting a job and now being retired and now having the opportunity to do the kinds of things that I enjoy doing. But the thing is that despite that, when I look at the world, I have to look at the world from a black perspective. I have not been given the freedom to look at it in any other fashion. I was luckily born into an educated environment. My mother was a teacher and my father owned a construction company. And it gave me a lot of opportunities and a lot of privileges. But it did not remove me from the black experience. So it's kind of interesting, Reverend Smith, that somehow some people are able to remove themselves from the black experience and try to live as though they're not one of us. What is your thoughts about that?
Are you talking to me?
Yes.
Well,
4332.
Well, that's true. I was born in an educated family. I was born in, my dad could not write and read, and my mama went to the eighth grade, but you're exactly right. But it's people thinking, though, and where do they get their thinking from? And according to where you get your thinking from, it's going to be based how you operate as far as the world is concerned. So wherever source you get it from, and if you believe that source to be the truth, that's how you're going to operate. And there's people that, right, they try to deny the fact that they are not a person of color, but it's obvious that they are, but it's your thinking. And so as a man thinks, so is he.
And we all are surely, and I'm sorry, it's Mr. Reverend Hamilton, right?
Right.
Okay. Reverend Hamilton, one of the things I'm suggesting is that we can all be kind-hearted and we learn taught to live in love. But at the same time, you have to recognize what the reality of life is. And when you try to understand a different individual and try to get that individual a chance to treat you fairly, that somehow or another that the rest of the people not being treated fairly are being treated that way because they're not doing or taking the same steps that you may have had.
That's not correct. Because everybody not exposed to the same situations. So therefore, you know, and so you can't just say if you took the same step because everybody not. I mean, for people to think that way, they're gonna think that way, but that's not true. I agree with you. That's not true.
And that's what I'm saying. You have to recognize that there are gonna be people who are selected out of the group for whatever reasons, and that those people may be used at the detriment of the group. So, Cheryl, sometimes we find African Americans who find themselves successful who then try to believe that they've crossed over and they haven't experienced racism because of their perception of the world, but not understanding that all of us have been denied something one way or another, but we may not just be aware of what it was that we should have had based on our ability.
You know, it's really hard to imagine that he didn't have any experience whatsoever throughout his entire lifetime of racism, because it is hard to be black out here and not to experience it. And you can experience it in a whole lot of ways. You know, you can experience it by going in a store and someone just dropping a change down in your hand or putting it on a counter. You can experience it, you know, just very, very simple ways. that may have escaped you. But sometimes when people have, so they say, arrived, they have a tendency to forget everything that's behind them. So, you know, that's just hard to even imagine at all, that he had no experience at all whatsoever throughout a lifetime, you know, without any experience of racism. Just
yeah, and it caught me off guard when Armstrong Williams made that statement. And one of the other things is that as we go through this process of trying to do what it takes to be successful in America, or we have to recognize those entities that will give us the best opportunity. I don't believe that the Democratic Party has done everything they could do to help make life better for people of color. But at the same time, I recognize that the Republican Party seemingly is unwilling to do anything consistently to make that transition for us. And some of it is because they're so busy catering to the rich, they don't do anything to cater to the those of an economic low point. So therefore, not only are they not catering to people of color, they're not catering to poor white people either, but poor white people seem unable to see how they're being mistreated. So, Reverend Havington, as we move forward and try to better position ourselves, we have to figure out who is doing what and selecting those people who are willing to work with us to get to where we need to be.
Well, that's true. The foundation, though, and this is what I've been dealing with for years now, as a preacher, the foundation, though, is the home, the lack of basic understanding of you all people of color. I know when I came up, and I'm 67, when I came up, it was, you know, white, black, you had to stay on your side, but our parents told us, you know, you got to work harder, you got to do this. The family value had a meaning, but the foundation of home today is so divided. And going back to what you said earlier, everybody for themselves. So to get to the political arena, you know, you got to back up someplace and say, we got to train some young people to have value within themselves, have education, have those kinds of things, and fight through a system that's working against them. I'm the principal of our school. I try to tell our young people, you are not going anywhere fast if you don't get an education. You don't value education. It is a bad situation you're going to find yourself in. And that ain't going to get you the best, but that's just going to open little doors for you. But if you ain't got the resources at home to support homework and all kinds of things like that, it's really just getting tougher and tougher on the home front. That's how I see it.
Well, Mr. Hammond, let me ask you a question, because today, you know, I was born in 1960. And again, I had a solid foundation that supported me and pushed me toward education. But one of the things I noticed in the neighborhoods I lived in, you had poor African-Americans and people who were part of or trying to get to the middle class. And all of us had the same conception of what was needed in order to raise ourselves up. How do you feel that got lost here now in the 2017, where
okay.
It seems that
okay.
young people just don't understand the pathway to begin to try to get yourself at the starting line? We're so doing so
okay.
many things to put us behind the starting line.
Okay. Now, this is me, what I have seen. I believe integration hurt us, even though it seemed like it was trying to help us, because it robbed us of a lot of black men who were leaders, a teacher who really cared, who would push, because that element was gone. And now you got a school system, you know, mixed, which is good, but all the teachers don't care about, and if a child don't get it, it's hard for him to get it. He's going to get left behind. There's no, you know, I have male principal, I have male assistant principal, have male football coach, had those male figures, but when integration came on, a lot of the principals were made counselors or whatever like that. So now you don't, who do young boys have to look up to? I mean, I know there are agencies and ministries in the town that try to support that, but we had a support system that worked. And to me, it would have been better if they would have gave us some of the same equipment that they had on the other side of town and not eliminate our schools. When they eliminate our school, they eliminate our leaders. And it, to me, that's where a big lack of push and you can make it, you know, that been lost.
Cheryl, let me ask you, we've heard that before from different individuals, but how do we overcome the fact that there are just some people who are just willing to take the additional benefit the white community is willing to give, but willing to sacrifice or cut loose the tether to assist the black community?
In that case, they'll separate themselves. They're losing their identity.
Right.
A lot of them is led, you know, by the dollar sign, by greed. It's all for me. It's just, you know, just the I syndrome. And we see that a lot today. You know, we thinking that they are taking a position. Whatever it is, it can be a local, it can be on a government, a state, you know, whatever position, we see that, and then all of a sudden, we look back and we think, you know, what happened to the things that they talked about that they were going to do? Well, they get in that position, they begin looking out for self, and as they're looking out for self, they're just looking for the benefit of where that position is going to take them. And it becomes greed, and they forget about, you know, where they came from, the people who put them in those particular offices. And they completely lose their identity of who they really are.
And the sad thing is we make it to the suburbs and we feel no obligation to go back into the black community and have a presence. Nobody says you
right.
got to live in the black community, but there's nothing to keep you from going back into the black community and making some kind of contribution, such as to help others get an opportunity like you have. Sometimes we just assume that we made it without any other assistance, but the truth is all of us needed somebody.
You're exactly right. I would just say that's true, and we have to agree there's a small percentage of people that do try to do that, but that was one of my points too, that they want to go in the suburb, and then you're not really accepted in the suburbs. You're isolated over there because there's very little thing that you're going to participate in with everybody there. You're just there. So really, you're where you can identify and be somebody, but you want to say, I am. It goes back to it's the thinking. And once you said earlier, think you have arrived, you have become blinded to who you really are.
And there's no way that we can overcome the prejudiceness that exists and people. You know, we really thought Cheryl that we had gotten beyond that, or at least I did when we elected Barack Obama to 2 terms. I thought we turned the corner, but the fact that we elected Donald Trump shows that there were enough people still with that same feeling related to making America great again, especially when this last gentleman suggested that when he thought America was last great, Moore said he thought America was last great when we were in slavery. So how in the world could he think that African Americans want to go back to that time, or people, any other people other than white Europeans would make that kind of same conclusion?
You know, that's just ridiculous, and we know that because we know that we have not even gotten there, you know, to say America is great or what it was. And relating that to slavery, that was just a slap in our face. You know, that's just telling us when it was good for them without just actually coming out and saying as if we could not read between the lines. And, you know, and that's why we have to continue doing, and we have to be doers. You know, when we talk about giving back, I try to do so much as far as helping people. And here is our problem. Our problem is that we got to stop expecting, you know, a handout and start getting to the point where we say we are willing to accept what it is to get to a certain point, but willing to do the work to get there. Because I'm a person like this. I may give you some fish, but you can't keep coming and asking me for some fish. But I definitely will teach you how to fish. That way you can obtain your fish as well. And that makes me know where you are and what it is that I'm willing to do for you. Because we all go through time. And see, now is the time where we needed to have already built something solid for ourselves. Because anything that we have depended on, anything that programs that was put in place, and don't get me wrong, there's so many people that need it, because we have different situations for everybody. But we can't lay on the system. We have to make it great for us and not put ourselves where they want to put us, so they stay back in slavery and being dictated to. We have to stand up and show ourselves and be heard and be seen and be counted for. So that's where the work comes in. And, yeah, we can all be helpful to one another. So you're right. When we get to a certain point, we got to, you know, reach our hands back and help those that are willing to come up, help those that are willing. You know, and when I say come up, everybody is on a different level. Up does not mean so far up there. Up means just a little bit farther from where you are right now for some. And for others, maybe even greater distance from where you are right now. But we got to be willing to put in the work and do what it takes as a group, as a community, coming together to get these things accomplished. We can do it. You know, we just got to start doing better.
And recognizing that a handout is not necessarily an opportunity. You know, so often, you know, I've been involved in athletics, and I saw athletes being misused, and sometimes they, instead of doing what they needed to do to educate themselves, they sought to use to allow their teachers to let them pass when they know they didn't do what was necessary to pass. And so they got in the habit of things being given to them instead of working for them. And when somebody requires you to work for something, actually they're doing you a better service than the person who just gives it to you.
Yes, that's correct. But see, there's I'll put it as we were speaking, and I'm going to have to leave tonight, and I'll be back. But we got so many issues. We have to, and both of you have said, we got to be willing to start small. I know I work with our school, and I'm working our community and try to get people to vote and things like that. But then when you get certain black people in office, same thing, some of them, they forget that they're black now, and they sell out. So it's a slow process, but we got to still be willing to keep working at it, because it's a big mess. It ain't no little mess now. It ain't no little mess where you live or where I live. It's a real big mess. And but I applaud people that are willing to speak up and have ideas and willing to challenge people to come on board. It might be a few people, but come on board. Let's make some things happen.
And that's what we've got to be committed to doing. And as we first initially spoke about, we cannot allow people, shouldn't allow people who like you say, who somehow find that they've made it and then want to throw us under the bus because they want to suggest that they got there on their own merit. And nobody's saying that they're not people who worked hard. A lot of us worked hard, but nobody has gotten to where they want to be without somebody laying some pathway. And you may not even know the person that laid that pathway for you. But whoever laid that pathway for you, there's a need for you to do the same when you're looking back. But when you turn your head and give yourself to some of these, like Donald Trump administration, we've had a number of people who have decided that they want to work for him and support all the foolishness that he does, irregardless of the statements that he makes. You and I both know he made those statements related to those Haitian individuals. And so if a man would tell you or say in a public forum that all the Haitian individuals who came to America have AIDS, that let me know that that man is not truthful. And he ain't trying to be truthful, because the statement he made, it can't be anywhere near the truth. And so he's trying to downgrade. When you downgrade Haitian individuals, if you feel no pain whatsoever about that as an African American, then there's something wrong. Reverend Smith, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing pretty good, James. Sorry I'm late, but I have some things I had to take care of.
Okay, but we're talking now about people who are willing to sacrifice their own race to be a part of another group that clearly doesn't have us in their best interest.
No, they don't have our best interest at heart. That's happened on numerous occasions to me and others who stepped out and spoken up. A lot of people will speak up in a crowd, but they won't speak up when they are by themselves. They want to be seen. They want to be heard. But when it's time to really let the rubber meet the road, they are not there. I created a lot of opportunities in the Sheriff Department, the State Attorney Office, and the Florida Department of Law Enforcement myself by being the first to do this and the first to do that. And the problem is that, I was always standing up for our people, but then when I look around, I was always by myself, because we have this tendency to forget that there were many, many people that died. We don't even know some of the people that died. We only know about Martin Luther King and Emmett Till and some of them, but there was many people died across the nation and the land, black, white, and others that really did. They gave their life that we might have a right, you know, to do some of the things. But we do. We forget totally about where we came from. We think that we made it on our own. And you're right. That's the biggest lie that we could ever tell ourselves. And when we come down to Trump or number 45, I hate to even call his name. But so when it comes down to number 45, I was at my pharmacist today, and I've been very good close friends with those ladies in there for the last 10 years. And I did not realize until today why he still, as I used to always say right here on this show, why he still have his base. And one of the ladies in there who used to go with my son, she's white, and she used to go with my son. And she went with him for about 4 or 5 years. And now all of a sudden she is pro-Trump and hate Obama. You know, and I'm telling her to give me some situations or ideas of what Trump has done. And she couldn't tell me. I said, now you want to tell me some of the things that Obama did to help you to get to where you are today. You know, there are others. There's a black African lady that works in that pharmacy. And she and I talk on the side a lot of times. I'm not there to try to make her lose her job, but just to talk to her. And when we are in these conversations, they won't get involved with it. And I won't get involved with it anymore. But getting back to the conversation, we need to stop it. That's our biggest problems. When we get to have $2 or $3 in our pockets, we move out the neighborhood. I don't care. There's no problem with that. But come back. Come back and do something constructive. Come back and say something and help somebody. Help one, and we'll all help each other. But that's not going to happen. And we see that with the sports figures and others, movie stars and all the others, that they get to the point and the only time they show up is when there's a camera. We don't have anyone anymore. And so we need to stop it. We need to just stop it.
And I have to tell you this. I've always lived in a black community, but growing up in the 60s and the 70s, our leaders always had time for us. I remember any time when I walked by the black bank and the black banker saw me, he would come out and talk to me and have a minute with me. Anytime I walked through the neighborhood and saw a coach or anybody who was doing something with young people, they'd want to talk to you. People took time out to talk to us as individuals and put us on notice that they were watching us and that they wanted us to be successful and gave us encouragement. And so, you know, it is just, you know, when you move out in the suburbs, like you say, that doesn't keep you from driving back into the neighborhood and finding some reason for your presence to be seen and to give support and encouragement to young people. And so a lot of times when people make themselves, and again, I say just like Ben Carson, I really am disappointed that Ben Carson has chosen to follow this Republican individual or administration and suggest that somehow or another that he made it by pulling himself up by his bootstraps, not recognizing or being able to see that there were people who made provisions for him, whether he knew them or not. So, Cheryl, it is just people who somehow, once they have gotten over a certain threshold, seem to close their eyes to the needs of thinking what is in the best interest of us as black Americans or people of color collectively and not go on to the other side.
You know, it is so right, because, you know, if we had so many who have made it give back to the communities, And I'm not saying that everybody hasn't, but there are so many more that can and don't.
Amen.
And, you know, sometimes I think it don't even cross their mind. You know, they feel like they're glad to have gotten out of where they were, out of poverty. But it's not where they have compassion, understanding, or any of those other things of what they left behind for them to get. Because, you know, they live in a life where they buy a lot of things unnecessary. And a lot of that, if they just even took and gave back that portion of some of the unnecessary, the wastefulness that they spend. You know, if they reach back, they have family members that are homeless, not because of choice, but because of just circumstances. You know, may have lost their job, may not have been able to pay for housing, you know, and a lot of them just don't even realize what's going on right there in their families, you know, and then once the families, you're talking about right there within your communities. And I know that this world could be a better place if each one gave something back.
Amen.
Go to a lot of them, you know, they try to give where they're going to be recognized and where it's going to be talked about, not so much where it's to make a difference, and I mean not even a difference, but impact on the lives of, you know, those that are left behind or still have not gotten there. And, you know, they can help them in so many different ways. It doesn't have to be monetary. They can open up doors. They can, you know, put so many children in college, you know, those who are willing to go. So they don't have to always feel like they got to give somebody some money. You know, they can offer opportunities of a lifetime that somebody had to offer them. Somebody had to give them a break for whatever it is that they're doing. But they don't take the time to go back and talk to them. Find out where it is that some of them will want to be and open up those avenues for them, because it could be done if they want. And it does not mean that this is all of them, but it's so many, you know, that have so much more in life.
Amen.
And we have to be able to recognize that we need, you know, you have 24 hours in a day, and there got to be some time during the week when you can do something or say something that's going to make the difference in somebody's life, and recognize when you're doing other people's bidding. You know, when I look at Amorosa, who has now learned what it is, now she got to try to reestablish herself and make connections back in the black community, because there may not be any more people in the white community who are willing to support her. When you have people like Armstrong Williams, who displayed a disdain for African Americans, even though he's an African American, somehow suggesting that we need to be more able to do for ourselves, not understanding that those people did for him so that he could be a mouthpiece for them, and not understand that those people are willing to bring one or two people away from the group in order to use them against the group, Reverend Smith.
Well, yeah, that's what's happening. These people, Cheryl said the same thing as we were saying, we were talking about them only coming back when there's opportunities to be seen. Are heard. And Omarosa, you know, she wasn't anything before The Apprentice, as far as I know. I never had heard of an Omarosa before The Apprentice. And now she's been in the White House, and now she's going to come out, and she's going to tell a lie, a story, or whatever she's going to tell. I hope she tells the truth. And she's going to write this book. That's why she was saying the things she was saying on television. I don't understand why we can't stand together for once in our life. And I got that paper, I got that text from Cheryl, I believe it was from Cheryl the other night, and I read that thing, and it was nothing but the truth, nothing but the truth. We are totally, I had a very rich white guy come to me once, and he said, Giles, he said, can I ask you a question? And I don't, please don't get mad with me, because you know we are friends. And I say, I mean, whatever you want to ask, just don't go over the line, you know. And he said, why is it that black people are the most best-dressed, poverty-stricken people in the world? He said, you all buy all our stuff, make us richer and richer and richer and richer, just like that text that Cheryl said to us. You buy all of this stuff from here. Do you not know we can command respect? We can command respect with our buying power, and that's what we don't do. We don't even ask. We don't respect one another. So basically, how in the world can we expect somebody else to respect us? And when we, like you were saying about this man, the banker who came out and talked to you when you were passing by, that's what we need, more role models. It's not so much in what you say. It's what you do. I try to carry myself in a fashion and manner that the younger people will know that I'm a pastor, I'm a child of God, but they also know that I'm a man who has been blessed by God to be in the position of a situation that I am today. Only, not because of this, that, or the other, but because I watched my mother and my father, and I watched others, and I fought for where I got to. I fought to be where I am today. But we can't just let it be, say, well, oh, I made it. You're on your own. You're not on your own. It is God's word that's telling us, I comfort you that you may comfort others. If we don't go back and help some other people, we're in a lot of trouble who go and sit in the church and holler, praise the Lord, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. But then that day is going to come when you're going to raise that hand and it's not going to move or go try to raise it. And that's why I'm so happy about this new program that we are working on now called Homeboy Industry. I'm looking forward to this so that I can help some of these down here in Orlando. I don't know where most of you all live at, but we got this area called Paramore, and there's a lot of killings and drive-bys and all kind of stuff going. That's where we're going to open this place up at. I'm not scared. I'm not afraid because God didn't give me the spirit of fear. Plus, I've been in some more death situation than you could even think about. But that's not the point. The point of it is I'll be able to give them the benefit of experience. I won't be able to tell them or give them a fish. I'll be able to tell them how to fish and show them how to fish so that they will be able to eat for a lifetime if they want to. And that's what we need to stop fighting each other. We fight each other too much, killing each other. And where are the Black Lives Matter folk at? Where's the NAACP at? Where's all of these other organizations? Let's go into these neighborhoods and stand up. I go and talk to these people. Why can't we all go sit down and talk with them? We're no better than they are because they're sitting under a tree, because they're waiting on somebody to come by to sell them some drugs. Still sit down and talk with them. Don't be afraid. If they tell you they don't want to talk to you, just walk away. But there's somebody in that crowd that wants to hear what you got to say.
All right, let's take a break. That's okay. You're telling the truth. Let's take a break and we'll come back and continue our conversation.
Prevail. And then, in
that need to be displayed and promoted throughout the world. It hurts me so bad when I see us doing things that are detrimental not only to ourselves but to our communities, and that we are doing, we do these things not understanding that the harm that it's going to cause.
You, you're so correct. We're not being smart about a lot of things, and I think is because of lack of knowledge, and you know, because of a lack of knowledge, he says our people will perish.
Amen.
And when we are not taking time out for each other, explain to each other or to the next generation. You know, we can always say that Big Mama say do this, Big Mama say do that, but we never knew why. You know, my mom always used to tell me, you know, it's, you know, always pay your bills on time. You always want to save a little money. But you know, we need to know how. You know, put something together for the ones who don't know how. How should we do that? And each one of us have a gift and a talent that we should be sharing with others. Some of us need help in developing those gifts and talents. And that's where another person should come in to be able to assist us, to be able so that we can take those things further, because we can conquer so much together that we are losing as long as we don't continue to come together in a lot of things. You know, and something that Pastor Smith just said about his friend asking him the question. You know, I was asked the same question as well. With me, I'm, you know, I couldn't, it's embarrassing because of the things that we would do for some shoes and for some clothes that we are definitely not benefiting from. And that's why my gift and my talent, I was born with a gift to be able to sew. And I reach out to people. I mean, I taught sewing classes from ages 7 all the way up to 62, I think, was my oldest student that I had. And what I do is now, because it is more, it is a lot costly to make things because of the cost of fabric today. But, you know, I had somebody to stop me in church Sunday and ask me where did I get my jacket from, that they wanted to get one like that in black. Well, I had to explain to them I got it from the thrift store for $3.99. I shortened it myself to the length that I wanted it to be. The extra fabric I used and covered the buttons so the buttons didn't look old. And that was a product of what I came out with. So if we take and use some of our skills and our talent, we don't have to spend all our money to look good or to look presentable for whatever job or wherever we're going and we want to look a certain way. We don't have to spend a lot of money. And I'm a witness for it. And I have been willing to teach people those things. Oh, well, I can get you to do it. No, let me tell you, I can show you how to do it. So that way it won't stop you from going to the thrift stores when you want to do something. Because maybe I don't live in your area, or maybe I may be involved in doing something else. And you can do some of these things when you're sitting down watching TV at night.
Amen.
So that's why I say that in certain things somebody else can do something, that they can teach somebody, you know, like Tyrone is good at finances. He can teach those how to actually start to save money and how to make your money work for you. You know, don't just tell a person save money. What does that mean to them? Show them how to do it. Explain to them the benefits of it. You know, they say don't live above your means. What does that really mean? Explain it. And that's the reason why we are where we are, because of a lack of knowledge.
Amen.
We don't understand if we keep doing what we're doing, we're going to keep getting what we've gotten. And there's nothing and nowhere.
Amen.
So we got to start sharing what we know with each other. You know, and that's, again, why I said this platform is so beneficial.
So
important. I enjoy and I try to do everything I could to make it on this because I'm learning something every single day.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty sure that the listeners are taking something away. And we don't have to look far for the things that we are talking about. I'm pretty sure that somebody in their family knows how to sew and would enjoy somebody coming to them and asking them how to do something.
Amen.
I even did something on FaceTime to show somebody how to do something. So if somebody else can do something else, that would be willing to show them. And that way we can progress a whole lot better. We need to know. We need the knowledge. We need not to be afraid of books and being able to talk to each other and share what it is that we know. So somebody else can benefit from it.
And Cheryl, when you speak of it in terms of dressing and looking nice, see, people don't understand you. It's not that people don't want you to look nice. Everybody wants you to look nice. And in a way, Reverend Smith, what that man was saying, we've been, you know, men used to always wear hats. I got a photo at the AME Church Convention, which was in early 1900s. I can't remember the exact. It was in Chicago.
Yeah.
And every man, the men were looking tight. You know, they were looking good. But at the same time, there's a way to look good that doesn't cost you everything you got. You know what I'm saying?
Amen.
That you can do it in moderation so that you take care of both situations. You got a nice outfit, didn't break you. So that's what people saying, you know, there's a way to have a nice pair of tennis shoes without spending $300 for some Michael Jordan. I don't care. I don't care. Michael Jordan is my brother, but he will not get a dime from me for his shoes. I'm sorry.
Amen.
I can go buy a pair of tennis shoes. Some decent tennis shoes gonna last me indefinitely for $50 or $100. I mean, I don't even go near $100 because I can go to these catalogs that got my size 15 shoes and they look good. And so I am not gonna spend no $100 unnecessarily. And so you know, people need to recognize. A lot of times, I remember I didn't read it, and I need to go back and read it. Completely, it was a book called A Millionaire Next Door. And he said a lot of times you won't even know the people who are millionaires because they're millionaires not because of how much they earn, but how much they keep.
Mm-hmm.
I can remember one time my mom told me, she said, do you know that you're in the same boat a rich man in? If he got $1 million house and he won payment from being kicked out, and you own a $50,000 house and you won't pay them from getting kicked out, both of y'all in the same boat.
Same one.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, a lot of times people don't recognize, don't put yourself unnecessarily in a situation that might not be in your best interest because you want to look like somebody who got more than they have.
Let me give you an example of that, James. When I got into pastoring, you're right, AME pastors and people in the AME church, and I love it. I love all people, don't get me wrong, and I'm not talking about no one. But we have this uppity type of situation where we drive to drive certain cars, dress certain ways, look prosperous and whatever, so forth and so on. I used to go out, because I had the money to do it, but I used to go out and buy $500,000 suits and all this kind of stuff and everything like that. And I realized that even with a robe, I'm up there sweating out all of this money going nowhere fast. Nowhere fast, okay? So what I did, after I did that for about a couple of years, I went to a store here in Kissimmee called K&G. K&G Superstore. I don't know whether it's anywhere where you all are. It said, buy one, get two free.
Yeah, I know the place. It had one here in Orlando off of West Colonia.
That's it. That's what I did. I went to K&G, and I looked. I said, I put on the suit, and I came home, and I looked. I said, dang, I look just as good in this one as I did in the one I bought from Blase Blase, you know? And I said, forget that, you know, because all you got to do is go to your tail and have a little tuck here, a little knit there, and you're good to go. You're good to go. So what I'm saying is that you get the same results out of a little, like your mother was telling you in reference to that man in a million-dollar house and the one in the $50 house, only one paycheck from being kicked out. The same thing. You're both in a predicament. And unless you know how to deal with your situation, unless you really know how to take a dollar and take one dime of that dollar and put it away, do something with it. You're going to give God 10% of that. Okay, now why not give yourself 10% of that? Put it away somewhere. Hold on to it. You know, people, oh, no, I need to do this. You don't need it. That's what you want to do. That's not what you need to do. And the thing of it is that it's almost like we feel that if I'm not looking like Joey or Jerome or Tommy or whatever, the names today I can't call, so I'm not going to even try to pronounce them. But the thing of it is if we're not looking at them the same way as they are, and there's been kids that's been killed over their shoes. They've been killed over their jackets because they were FUBUs or something like this. You know, that's stupid because we allow this over the years to progress in our communities that you must have such and such in order to be something or somebody. We in the churches do this a lot. Cheryl, I know you understand exactly what I'm saying. You do not have to look like Miss Okra over there, okay? You don't have to look like that. Present yourself, okay? Present yourself and your whole self to God, and He will accept you. Stop worrying about what somebody else says. What they think of you don't mean nothing.
Nothing at all.
That's right. When you get hungry, or when you're out of your house, or when your car is being repossessed, they are not coming to your defense, okay?
Not at all.
And so stop
it. Nowhere to be
found. That's what we need to teach and that's what I taught my daughters. When my daughters were growing up, and they will tell you the same identical thing right now. They could, Daddy, well, you know, what's the name of that brand back in the 70s, it was Jordash or Jordan something. Used to be on the, and my daughters come telling me, Daddy, why you won't buy us none of them? We want name brand jeans and stuff like this. I said, okay, baby, okay, no problem, Dad. I want to make y'all happy. That's what I want to do. I told their mama, I said, now, you're a good seamstress, good sewer. You go to Walmart. You get some jeans, and you sew Smith on the back of them, and they will then have some name. My daughters looked at me like I was crazy, but I told them it's not the name. It's not in the name. There's only one name in this world that matters, and that's Jesus. It's not in a name. The same fabric. You're buying a name. Why are you paying $300 and $400 for Jordan shoes? That's stupid. And they're going to wear out the same as that $50 pair of shoes you were talking about a few minutes ago, Jay.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to wear out. Yours probably will last longer than the Jordan because they know you're going to buy the Jordan. They really have gotten to a point, probably, that they are not so concerned about the quality, but the quantity they are concerned about. But these people who are selling theirs for $25, $30, $50, even $75, they are concerned. So yours probably will last long. So what we've got to do is teach our children. We really have to teach them. And my daughters today are not egotistical about what they dress. They look good, they dress good, but when it comes to, I'm dad, I got to find me a bargain, you know, whatever. I said, now you're talking, girl. Now you're talking. You know, and they're old. My youngest daughter is 44 years old. But they always calling me and telling me, a few minutes ago, one was talking to me about something like that. Yeah, but it's all about that. We've got to instill in them. Stop looking at what these basketball players have. Stop looking at what the football players have. Stop looking at what what anybody else got, period. And look at what you've been blessed with.
And it goes the same. It goes the same with the jerseys. I would never buy a jersey with another man's name on it, and I'll spend $100 or $200 for a jersey that got some other man's name on it, and as though my name is not important. And then the other thing, we've kind of worked our way out of a good situation. When I played basketball for Jones High School, they bought us two, if not three, pair of Converses. Converses back then cost about 10 or 12. So they buy you an orange pair, a green pair, and you might even get a white pair. I forget exactly how many we got. But we got, we could change up our shoes, and the school would buy the whole team. Now, the basketball players have to buy their own shoes because they want $100 and $200 shoes. And the school is not in a position to buy 15 players $200 shoes. So every basketball player got to buy his own shoes. You know, so, you know, we really have created an environment that's detrimental to our own financial existence because we have decided to allow white America to turn us into consumers. That's why every 6 months, Jordan come out with a new pair of shoes, because if he lets you keep the old ones too long, he can't make
it. Thank you.
And the same thing with cell phones. You look at every year they're coming out with a new cell phone. That's because they can't allow you to keep the old cell phone, because if you do, then they can't make no new money. And so we have to use ourselves more intelligently.
Did you see what came out in the paper yesterday and the day before?
They caught up with them
by them slowing down these phones. So you will go purchase more phones?
Right.
Crooked. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
They're getting ready. Apple is getting ready to be the first $1 trillion business. And they're still finding crooked ways to convince you to get a new phone. That's sad. So, Cheryl, what you're talking about doing, and they don't realize when you skip in one place, you're able to splurge in another place that you think is better for you. You know, but where you splurging all over the place, you ain't never able to get nothing because you always suffering and worried about how you're going to pay your bills.
You're absolutely right, you know, and when you know, I told y'all the story with the thrift store, but when my children was coming up, I made all their clothes, and I told them that they wanted to be different. Asked them about, you know, where they got their clothes from.
Amen.
And, you know, when you talk about name brand,
I gave a fashion show, and the name was CSK Originals. And on every piece of article of clothing that I made had those initials, CSK. It was from the I made the boys, you know, tuxedo, the pants, the jacket, the shirt, the tie, everything, and they had those initials on it. So you can be, you know, you can do original things your own self. That's like my son. He works and he wears a uniform. And you know how they wear the pants more taper, but the taper pants cost more. So he goes to Walmart and he go get his pants. And guess what? Mama paid for them pants.
Mm-hmm.
And he's had people online, because even his prom suit that I ordered, his prom suit that cost the same amount to rent a prom tuxedo, because I wasn't paying all that money for one day and have to give it back. Now, you can wear it one day, and you can put it online and sell it if you want, but we're going to buy it. We're not going to, in fact, it was even cheaper. But the pants, I altered them pants, and he had so many people on his Instagram to ask him where did he get that suit from and those pants the way they were.
Mm-hmm.
And he was, you know, he told him, and the size, because he's tall and he's bigger. So they wanted to know where he could get that from. And you know what he told me? He said, Mom, you're going to have to show me how to start doing this so that I can start charging people and start making my own clothes.
Amen. Amen. See, that's a good thing. That's a good thing.
And when you and people recognize, and when you create a skill that most people can't do, that's when they're willing to pay you for that skill. And that, you know, that's the
right
problem, is people don't want to learn a skill. You need to learn something that somebody is willing to pay you to do.
Right.
And it's either
right
in your head, it's either in your head or in your hand. Now, it got to be in one of the two. Now, if you ain't got them in nothing, either in your head, not your hand, what in the world is somebody going to pay you for?
You got a problem, Jamie. You're right. You got a problem.
No. Yeah. All right. We're going to take our final break, and we'll be right back to give our final
Amen
word.
Amen.
I need some love in
Eastern Time, Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and Sunday at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. We're here so that your voice can be heard loud and clear. So call in at 657-383-0309 so your voice can have a platform. Cheryl, what's your final thought for this evening?
I really enjoyed this platform this evening. You know, we shared a lot of information, although we had a good time. We shared a lot of valuable information, you know, how we can actually begin to do better. You know, one of the things, you know, some of the things we talked about, you know, was our gifts and talents. But with that, there are so many more. There's builders, there's cooks, there's so, you know, it's so broad of the gifts and talents that we do have that, you know, we can begin to share with others. But, you know, as I always say, no matter what we do, we can always do better.
Amen.
All right. Reverend Smith, your final thought for this evening?
Each one teach one. And that is a true statement there. And it's the fact that I just enjoyed it. I mean, this was a good conversation tonight, as usually all of them are. But, I mean, this one is something that hopefully there were others out there was listening to it. And I pray to God that they heard some of the advice from us that have been through these things. The people that really need to hear a lot of this stuff are not listening half the time, and they won't listen most of the time. But we mustn't give up. We must continue to try and continue to try. And that's why I'm a young 75, and I'm going to keep on fighting to help my folk to get where they need to be. Praise God.
And the fact is that we're not there until all of us can be there. You know, the thing is, you can't believe that once you get there that the job is over. You got to believe that it's important to do what it takes. But everybody have an opportunity, and they can only have that opportunity if we're willing to reach back, like you said, each one teach one, and get everybody up at the table as soon as we can. Okay, we'll see you tomorrow at 6 p.m. Eastern Time on Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, where your voice can be heard loud and clear.
All right, God bless you, my brother.
There's a place in your heart, and I know that it is love. And a place much brighter than tomorrow. And if you really try, you'll find there's no need to cry. There's a place you feel there's no hurt or sorrow. There are ways to get there if you can.